John 20 and verse 11. But Mary stood at the tomb weeping without. As therefore she wept, she stooped down into the tomb, and beholds two angels sitting in white garments, one at the head and one at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say to her, Woman, why dost thou weep? She says to them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And having said these things, she turned backward and behold Jesus standing there, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus says to her, Woman, why dost thou weep? Whom seekest thou? Jesus, supposing that it was the gardener, says to himself, If thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus says to her, Mary. She, turning round, says to him in Hebrew, Rabboni, which means teacher. Jesus says to her, Touch me not, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary of Magdala comes bringing word to the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had said these things to her. Two Samuel 19 verse 24. And Mephibosheth, the son of Saul, came down to meet the king. Now he had neither washed his feet, nor trimmed his beard, nor washed his clothes, from the day the king departed, until the day he came again in peace. And as soon as Jerusalem came to meet the king said to him, Why dost thou not go with me, Mephibosheth? And he said, My lord, O king, thy servant deceived me. For thy servant said, I will saddle me at the ass and ride thereon and go with the king. For thy servant is lame, and he has slandered thy servant to my lord the king. But my lord the king is as an angel of God. Do therefore what is good in thy sight. For all my father's house were but dead men before my lord the king. And thou hast set thy servant among them that eat at thy own table. What further right therefore have I? And for what should I cry any more to the king? And the king said to him, Why speakest thou any more of thy matters? I have said, Thou and Ziba, divide the land. And Mephibosheth said to the king, Let him even take all, since my lord the king is come again in peace to his own house. 2 Samuel 6. 2 Samuel 6 and verse 6. And when they came to Nacon, flashing floor, Uzzah reached after the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen had stumbled. And the anger of Jehovah was kindled against Uzzah, and God smote him there for his error, and he died by the ark of God. And David was indignant, because Jehovah had made a breach upon Uzzah, and he called that place Perez Uzzah to this day. And David was afraid of Jehovah that day, and said, How shall the ark of Jehovah come to me? So David would not bring the ark of Jehovah home unto himself into the city of David. But David carried it aside into the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. And the ark of Jehovah remained in the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite 3 months. And Jehovah blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. And it was told King David, saying, Jehovah has blessed the house of Obed-Edom, and all that it is his, because of the ark of God. And David went up and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom into the city of David with joy. Just a final reference in Revelation chapter 3. Revelation 3 and verse 14. And to the angel of the assembly in Laodicea write, These things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. Thus, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I am about to spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich, and grown rich, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art the wretched, and the miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold purified by fire, that thou mayest be rich, white garments, that thou mayest be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness be not made manifest, and thyself to anoint thine eyes, that thou mayest see, I rebuke and discipline as many as I love. Be zealous therefore and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and am knocking. If anyone hear my voice and open the door, I will come unto him and sup with him, and he with me. We were mentioning in the reading about the fact that when Joseph had his place, blessing resulted. And I'd like to just continue that theme tonight. And that when Christ has his place, prosperity and blessing flow. And I would like to challenge my own heart and the hearts of all here as to whether it's true of us that Christ does have his rightful place in our lives, in our houses, and in our gatherings. God has decreed that Christ is to have the first place in all things. And that's what's going to happen. But he's to have the right, his rightful place now with those that love him. And I suppose we could reference Paul as someone whose life was completely surrendered to Christ. For me to live is Christ, and to die gain. In that I live by faith. The faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. What was the basis of Paul's committal to Christ? It was the Lord's intervention in his life. When he was going along thinking he was doing God's will and attacking believers, and the Lord intervened and revealed himself to him and turned his life around. And Paul lost everything that he had materially and naturally as a result of that intervention. But he gained the knowledge of Christ as Saviour. The excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. He could say that he'd been taken possession of by Jesus. That's a life surrendered to Christ. Well, you say, well, I don't have the capacity for that. Maybe you don't. But do you have the capacity for someone like Mary of Magdala? You know, there was someone who loved the Lord with a fervence that would perhaps put me to shame. You know, there was a woman who was completely under the domination of Satan. Seven demons she had. Seven means complete. She was under Satan's domination until she met the Lord. And he cleansed her of these demons. And her life was turned around completely. And she followed the Lord. She was among those who followed him from Galilee and ministered to him. She was among those that were at the cross. Only John, you know, was at the cross, as far as we know, of the disciples. Mary of Magdala was there. Think of what was going through her soul as she took account of Christ suffering there. And here she comes to the tomb early in the morning, and she finds the tomb empty. She's perplexed about what's happened. She comes and tells the disciples. Peter and John come, and then they go away. But Mary stands there weeping. Why? Because her life is finished without Christ. I'm challenged as to what the Lord means to me. Maybe I don't sufficiently appreciate what he's done for me. Maybe you think, or I might think, that because I was brought up in a Christian household, that I perhaps wasn't so bad as some of the other sinners. Do you know, if you'd only ever committed one sin, you needed the full cleansing power of the blood of Christ. Paul was to remind the Ephesians of what they were, you know. He brings out the hide of the truth, but he says, remember what you were. Without Christ, without hope in the world. Heading for a lost eternity. That's what Christ has done for you and I. If you're a believer in Jesus, I can't assume that. As I stand here tonight, I hope you are. what is a life without Christ, you know? Mm-hmm. Someone wrote, my life without Christ is shattered dreams. How many are finding that, you know, in the world of despair in which we are? Mm. And yet the answer is right there in the Saviour. Mm. It's offered. If you don't have Christ in your life, come to him right now where you are, because you're lost without Christ. Mary's life had no meaning without Christ. She even the dead body would have been something. They've taken away my Lord. They've taken him away. If I could only have his body, I'll take it away. How Mary was ever going to carry the body of a 33-year-old man away? She doesn't even think of it. If she could only just have the body. Such was her love for Christ. But then, the Lord, who knew about Mary's love? He knows how much you love him. He knows whether you're holding back something. He knows whether you're not prepared to surrender to him. This is lovely. The first person the Lord appeared to was Mary of Magdala. What a reward she got for her faithfulness and love for Christ. She had to be adjusted. The Lord was in a new condition. She couldn't have him back the way she had him. It's important to understand that the Lord laid down a condition of manhood that he never took again. Mm. The things concerning me have an end. Mm. He took his place, as we were saying in the reading. He took our place. God condemned sin in the flesh in his own Son. And he laid down that order of man that God was completely finished with. You know, you and I, after the flesh, were finished at the cross. God's not looking for anything from you after the flesh. All he is interested in is what's of Christ. And so Mary was told not to touch him. He had not yet ascended. But she gets this wonderful message. This is perhaps the greatest message that was ever conveyed to mankind. That it, as the Lord was in resurrection, there was a new condition and a new relationship opened up with the Father and his Father. Isn't that wonderful? It was given to Mary of Magdala. It wasn't given to the disciples. It was given to someone who had so much love for the Lord. You know, things are given to people who love the Lord. Daniel was a man greatly beloved. Look what was given to him in regard of prophecy. John was in the bosom of Christ. Look what was given to him. Things are given. Revelations are made to those who truly love Christ. Well, I challenge you. Of course we love the Lord. Of course we do. Everyone who's accepted him as Saviour has love for the Lord. But what I'm saying is that having a practical effect on your life? Does he have the place that he's so rightly due? I refer to Mephibosheth, because there was a man who was so thankful for what David had done for him. Now, Mephibosheth was an heir to the throne. He was Jonathan's son. What usually happened to heirs to the throne in these days was that they were eliminated. David was not always the type of Christ, but he was a type of Christ in relation to Mephibosheth. Is there anyone of the house of Saul that I can show the kindness of God to? You know, we've all experienced the kindness of God, haven't we? The kindness and love to man of our Saviour God. Where did it appear? It appeared in Jesus. He brought that to us. And every one of us who love the Lord have known what it is, known what the kindness and love to God of a Saviour, a man of a Saviour God is. Mephibosheth was taken from a place of no pasture. Pagan from the dunghill. and said among princes. That's every one of us. Let us not have high thoughts about what we were before Christ intervened in our lives. We owe everything to him. Just as Mephibosheth owed everything to David. He couldn't walk, but he was placed at the king's table. He wouldn't have known that he had a disability. He was brought in as one of the king's sons. You know, that's what Christ has done for us. He was so appreciative of what David had done. And then we find that David is on the run, and David is in rejection. And Ziba, his servant, slanders him. Where's thy master? And David and Ziba told lies about him. Mm-hmm. And David's not at the highest. He accepts what Ziba says. And he goes into exile. Here he's coming back. And he's met by Mephibosheth. Now, all that time, and I'm not sure, perhaps someone could tell me how long it was, but all that time, Mephibosheth was in mourning. That's what he was. He never washed his clothes, nor his beard, nor trimmed his beard, nor washed his feet. All the time that David was away. Are we missing Christ? Do we feel his absence? Are we thankful for the supper when we can gather to remember him in the scene of his absence and rejection? I believe that's precious to the heart of Christ. That there are those here in the world that has rejected Christ who are prepared to gather to remember him. Let us not forget what Christ has done and be able to have a part in response to him. Mephibosheth is in mourning because David is in exile. It's a challenge to my heart how much I feel the absence of Christ. You know, the church generally, which is referenced in Revelation, says, I sit a queen and I'm no widow. Church, professing church does not feel the absence of Christ. What a situation that is. But Mephibosheth comes here to meet the king. And David said, why did you not go with me? You know, Mephibosheth here is morally greater than David. David's not at the height. He says to him, don't speak any more of it. I think David realizes that he's done him a disfavor. Don't speak any more of it. Divide the land. Mephibosheth says, let him take all. Let him take all. Material things have no attraction to me now that my Lord the King is back. Oh, dear friend, dear believer, what do material things have? We're living in a materialistic world. Increasingly obsessed with attaining this and that and the other. You know, when persons get to what they achieve, what they hope for, they find there's nothing there. Why? Because nothing but Christ can satisfy. Nothing. Let him take all. I find I'm challenged by that, you know. Christ meant, David meant everything to Mephibosheth. And here he is, welcoming the king back. Nothing else matters. Could we go from this room tonight with that kind of devotion to our Saviour? 2 Samuel 6. It's a house. And houses are vitally important. Vitally important. You know, just a bit of the history. The Israelites took the ark into battle. And they lost the ark to the Philistines. And the ark was able to look after itself, and it brought great grief to the Philistines. And they sent it back with offerings. And it came back to Beth Shemesh. And the men of Beth Shemesh looked into the ark, and God smote them. The ark is a type of Christ. One of the most beautiful types of Christ in the Old Testament. But it had to be dealt with carefully. Why is that? I'm just going to say that however close Christ has come to us as a saviour, as a friend, as a guide, he remains inscrutable. The person of Christ is not the subject of revelation. No one knows who the Son is but the Father. Just remember that. Here they are. David has a good desire here, a right desire, to bring the ark out of the house of Abinadab. Now, after that incident with the men of Beth Shemesh, it was taken in to the house of Abinadab. And it was there for years. More than 20 years. I don't know exactly how long. The scripture says it was a long time. But there's nothing else said about it. It was in that man's house for years. You know, it's like a Bible gathering dust on the shelf. What good is the Bible if it's not read, if it's not appreciated and valued? It's the living Word of God. You know, some of us are so thankful to be brought up in a Christian household where the Lord's rights were upheld, where the scriptures were read morning and night, where prayers were made, where the Lord's day was the Lord's day. What a blessing that is, you know, when Christ has his rightful place in the house. That's when prosperity comes. David's careless here. He's careless. They put the ark on a new cart. God said it had to be carried. It had to be carried by the Levites. It had to be carried by the Kohathites. And they put it on a new cart and they bring it out. And Uzzah puts out his hand and steadies the ark, and God smote them. So David's afraid. And he turns it into the house of Obed-Edom. It was only there for 3 months. And God blessed the house of Obed-Edom because of the ark. What was the difference? It doesn't tell us. But it must have been that he had a true valuation of what the ark was. And that is where blessing flows. When Christ has his rightful place in our houses, he's denied his rights abroad in the world. But he's to have his place in our houses. You know, there used to be some people, some Christians used to have a plaque up in their house saying, "Christ is head of this house." That's not the case. The man is head of the house. Christ is head of the man. You, dear brother, are responsible for what happens in your house. Let us all be careful that what is in our houses is suitable for Christ. That it's a place where he would be at home. A place like that house in Bethany, where the Lord could retire to. A place where he was loved and honoured. That's what our houses need to be. It was only 3 months and David hears of the blessing of Obed-Edom. Because of the ark. That's the key thing in this phrase. In this phrase. In this passage. He had an appreciation of what the ark meant. And David comes. And there's no more new carts. It is carried into Bethlehem. David's adjusted. And what blessing results. Well, let us be exercised in relation to our houses. You know, the local assembly cannot be what the houses aren't. That's what the strength of the local assembly is, the houses that contribute to it. Places where Christ is held in honour. But then what of our gatherings? What of our gatherings together? Does Christ have his rightful place in our gatherings? You know, these words, I'm not going to go into detail about the words to the seven assemblies. It's very interesting if you'll care to take the time to look into the words to the seven assemblies. The first three are past, but the last four come right down and will come right down to the return of Christ. And so we have Thyatira, which represents Rome, and Sardis, which represents Protestantism, Philadelphia, which represents what's faithful to Christ, and Laodicea, which represents what's pretentious or profession. Mm. And we just need to challenge ourselves as to what place Christ has in our local gatherings. Mm-hmm. We've known what it is when man gets his place instead of Christ, and the disaster that ensues from that. You know, if man gets a place, it's always at the expense of Christ. That's what happens. Here was an assembly and Christ was outside. They didn't need him. Could you imagine such a thing? That a company, I don't know even if they were believers, but let's say they maybe were believers. I don't know. They didn't need Christ. What had happened to them? The epistle to the Colossians was to be read in Laodicea. What does he say? That Christ should have the first place in all things because he's head of the body. They did not get it. What had happened to the Laodiceans? I think they had become conformed to this world. Paul warns in Romans 12, after he says, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, he says, be not conformed to this world. You know, being conformed is when pressure is applied from the outside. And that's what happens. Persons are conformed. That's what happened in Laodicea. Do you know what marked Laodicea? The water supply was lukewarm because it came a long way. They were famous for banking, for clothing, and for medicine, especially Isol. Read what the Lord says. They had been conformed by the circumstances around them. Dear believer, we need to stand against what's happening in the world around us. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not pollute himself. We're living in a world of collapsing moral standards, and it's dangerous. Maybe we think that things we thought were awful 10 years ago, maybe not quite so bad. Measure things by the Word of God. That's how we measure things. The standard is the Word of God. The standard is Christ. The standard in the world in which we are, it's just simply what people will accept. That's what's happening. You know, we need to stand against it and be transformed. What Paul says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. That's from the inside out. Transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's that you've got to make that conscious decision, dear believer, that you're not like Daniel, going to be polluted, and you're not going to end up in a situation like this, where they had no need for Christ. You know, how is it even possible that a company could go on like this and Christ is standing at the door seeking access? Oh, the grace of my Saviour. I rebuke and discipline as many as I love. Behold, I stand at the door and I'm knocking. He wants access. He wants access to your life completely. He wants access to your home. He wants access that is his and his alone to our local gatherings. He wants his rightful place. He says, if anyone, if there's just one in Laodicea who hear my voice and open the door, I'll come in. Think of that. He wants to have that access in order to bring that blessing in. You know, and that's what he wants. He'll sup with him and he with me. He will, if you take Christ into your circumstances, he will bring you into his circumstances. And that is true blessing. That is what's worth having. Dear believer, are you ready to do this? Are you ready from this night forward to surrender completely to Christ? To give him the place that is his and his alone. No one else can take that place in your heart, in your life, in your circumstances. He's coming again very soon. He's going to be universally acclaimed. You know, it's hard to think of it. In the world in which we are, the engulfing darkness. I don't know about what's happening down here, but we have what's reckoned to be the most godless government in Western Europe, in Scotland. Mm-hmm. It's shocking what's happening. Mm. There's no thought of God. There's no thought of His word. Everything is what man feels and what man thinks. Mm. We must stand against it. We must stand faithful to Christ while we wait His return. Mm. He's coming again for all who love Him. But He's coming with the saints to take up His rights here. Mm. Think of a day when the knowledge of the glory of Christ will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. Mm. No one shall say, "Know the Lord," for all shall know Him. Mm. That's what's coming. Christ will have His rightful place. Mm. He will be publicly vindicated in the place where He's been cast out and rejected. Mm. As a man here, He left everything to the hands of God. He committed Himself into the hands of Him who judges righteously. Mm. You think that what happened to Christ at the hands of the Roman authority will not yet be answered for? Mm. Of course it will. Mm. The Roman authority will be rebuilt and smashed because of what it did to Christ. Mm. These things will all be put right. Mm. But Christ is to have His rightful place, and He will have it. Mm. May have it now in all our hearts, for His name's sake. Amen.